and welcome to this week's Observations. I am your host, Sovereign Sire. I am brought to you by the good people at Julieland.com, who bring you everything that's awesome, amazing, cool, and super fun. And of course, and I'm here with the mastermind of all of this, the
such
lovely, the wonderful.
Ass. You're such a kiss ass.
What? Well, I mean, that's my job. I'm a professional.
I know. Just give me a cupcake and I'll be fine.
You didn't have too many cupcakes. I'm gonna give you a treadmill.
Okay.
Instead.
Exactly.
I want you to run forever. I'm here with Richard Avery.
Yo.
Who's being kind of cantankerous and curmudgeonly today.
Get off my lawn.
I remembered his favorite adjectives.
Yeah. Get off my lawn.
And we are back in the Sov Pod with Mark Hayes because he was so awesome last time. I thought he should come back and tell more stories. Hi, Mark.
Howdy.
More stories.
I just wanted this to be the storytelling hour. So to recap, because you're Irish, so you're going to tell an Irish story. I'll recap first. So to recap, you're from Ireland. You're really amazing and cute and really smarty pants and everything. And you came to America to make it on kind of a random... on a whim.
A random path.
On a whim. And you have made kind of a little bit of a cottage industry out of writing about your experience as an Irish person encountering American culture.
Yeah.
And you're doing a documentary and you're doing stand-up and you're doing all these things. But at this point, I thought it would be more interesting to talk about like some of your actual stories.
Oh, yeah.
That you've
I
had.
I love talking about me.
Well, no, because I like you. In
more
the
of you.
The show, so you have a YouTube show, Random, and you... Like this a central theme of the show seems to be ladies.
Oh yeah.
The pursuits
Ooh.
Of ladies. So what I wanted to know is kind of like what has you like when you first got here, like is there a difference between American girls and Irish girls, or is pickup culture kind of the same everywhere, or
are sluts the same everywhere?
Yeah. Are also I can they're not.
Okay.
Because I can speak with okay. great experience on this matter. They are not all the same.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a big difference, right, between Irish girls and American girls. That's what most of my stand-up is.
Yeah.
Just comparing the
explain.
Two.
Explain.
But like, there's no dating culture in Ireland. Well, this is what I remember anyway, because it could have changed. I've been gone like 5 years. But I don't think I ever went on a date in Ireland. Maybe by accident. When I was young, I went on one date. This is a bad story, but I'll tell it.
Yeah.
I went on a date with this girl. I can't remember her name. She was lovely too. But for some reason, we went to the cinema and she came with me and all my friends. And halfway through the movie, I saw she had a hole in her pants. And for some reason, for my dumb, finicky head, I was like, I just don't like her anymore now. So I went to the bathroom during the movie and I told my friend, I don't like her. Do you want to just sit next to her and talk to her? So we came back and he sat next to her and she was just looking at us. And I was like, yeah.
But those were her holy pants.
Yeah, that was a bad story, but that's a bad...
There really is no end to your stories.
Yeah, I have another no-ending story. I was going out with this girl who was pretty good-looking for Irish standards. And then
please explain that. What's the difference between Irish standards and...
Well, I think like girls in LA are just ridiculously good-looking, whereas girls in Ireland are more...
Average?
Personality-driven. No, they're not. They're great,
yes.
too. I'll get lynched when I go home.
Exactly.
But, like, we're a bit behind. We're not as... I say this, they kind of look like... We have a porky kind of look in Ireland. We don't look comfortable in our skin.
And pasty white.
Pasty. And then when we get, like, in the sun, we look porky. We're kind of pink. We get red heads, red ears.
Yeah.
We're not too attractive. And in Ireland as well, when I was there was, like, an epidemic of fake tan. But it wasn't like spray tan here. It was like from a tub and it smelled like curry.
Oh.
And he used to apply it like slapping it on. Like,
turmeric.
I don't know. It's,
yeah.
It
it's
was
like
horrible.
A...
Disgusting. So you go into like a nightclub and everyone's kind of glowing orange and it smells of curry. And like, I remember this girl one day put her hand on my t-shirt and she left an imprint. But the weirdest thing is she had the biggest man hands ever.
I like it. And now I'm starting to feel so you have like man hands, no. Hole in the pants, no.
Oh, and this
you've got a lot of no's that are very like.
Oh, it's worse. It's like, so that
you
girl
are
who
Richard
was
Lewis.
Good looking before, we were like walking out of the cinema or something and it started raining and she ran to get cover and she ran like a chicken and an ostrich. She like flailed. And that was the end of that.
I never want to see you again. Yeah. I don't like the way you...
I was literally turned off on the spot. I was like, oh,
I'm just thinking, like, what?
Now
what,
I feel so conscious about being pink because I'm like, I'm very pink. Yes. Like, I'm very pink.
Right.
And my whole life I was told I was French and that I like my upper. I was told one thing and like so it was maybe like a year ago. I found out that I'm actually the last in the line, the last Hart, H-A-R-T, in the line of, like, Joseph Hart. Like, I'm a direct descendant from the guy that came from Ireland and brought the Irish, like, brought the Ireland to the United States. Like, signed the Declaration of Independence.
Ah.
Like, ran New Jersey back when it was still, like, this beautiful kind of idyllic kind of place.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, so it's, like, but it's a straight line. So it's this weird thing of, like, what, like, I was, like, you mean all this time?
That explains the pink.
I've been Irish.
The pink hue.
I don't. I still won't claim it. I'm like, I'm French. I don't know what the Irish. No, but like when you said that, I'm like, I suddenly felt so. I'm like, that's where the pink comes from. The yeah. pink. The pink don't lie.
The pink. So, the pink what do you think of the LA girls?
Ah, they're unreal.
Yeah.
And there's so much variety here. We're all like the same in Ireland.
Yeah, but here you get tall, short.
Yeah, tall,
blonde,
black,
brunette.
White. We don't really have black people in Ireland yeah. when I was there. No yeah. way, not a lot of Asians.
But now
it
you
was
have,
all.
So did you move here, kind of going, "Oh my God, I want to fuck them all," and
put together
a checklist. And
it was mind blowing. All right, moving here because you just see girls, you're like, "Oh Christ, they are that good looking."
Yeah,
naturally,
as opposed to in a magazine.
Yeah,
like, have you met any celebrity girls that you would be like, "Oh my God"?
Like,
have you hung out with Gwyneth Paltrow or something like that?
I'm trying to think. No, I can't think on the spot. I've seen a lot of celebs, but I kind of, after a while, the whole celeb thing, you're like, oh, all right, these are just the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I find, like, just attractive women at the bloody grocery store, you're like, yeah. what the hell is this?
Yeah.
She's unbelievable. You kind of come numb to it then, where you're like, at
yeah.
the start,
but
you're like, wow.
But even here, like, I think people are homely because I came from New York. And so, like, my whole thing is always when I encounter pretty girls, especially in porn, I'm always... It's like every bitch should have to spend a year in Manhattan.
Like, really?
Being ignored.
Yeah.
because it's hard. Because you grow up and you're like, grew up in California or whatever. It's like you're the prettiest girl in your town and everyone's always nice to you and everyone cares what you think about stuff and they're always very helpful. And then you go to Manhattan and you're like, I'm so beautiful and special and awesome. And like every 5 feet, it's a fucking supermodel.
Really?
And she's like working at Hot Dog on a Stick.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
like
a lot of
I mean, it's
New York.
It's fucking unreal. So now I come here and I'm like, fucking peasants.
Really?
Like I walk down those feelers and I'm like, I mean, she'd kind of be attractive. Been in Manhattan, no one would help that bitch with her bags.
Yeah, I don't know though. Lately, it's so funny. I was yesterday, I was at Melk on Beverly, and a beautiful, tall blonde walked in, and I was with my DP, and I just said, she was just gorgeous. And I was like, oh my God, let's follow her. Let's just follow her. Forget everything. And he's like, you can't. I just, that's just gorgeous. And every once in a while, in LA, I've been here forever, but it's like, I do see that one, you're just kind of go, wow.
Oh yeah, of course.
And that depends on also where you're at.
That like happens,
if you go
to, for sure.
If you go to hang around Beverly Hills, you'll see older, crazier ones.
Mm.
But I like to go. I like when I see really good-looking girls. It's usually like in Malibu or Santa Monica.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think also because I was a model for so long,
yeah.
like art modeling. You know, I was always like a plus-size model in Manhattan, but I was around regular models. And then here in porn, it's like, you know, there's no shortage of like absolutely like they're stunning.
There's a lot of good looking girls in porn.
Amazingly good looking girls in porn. Right? It's like,
do you watch porn at all?
Not really.
It's like, and it's like when I first came in, directors were like, oh God, if a girl like you came in here like 10 years ago, oh my God.
All right.
Oh, whoa. Like then I was like, what do you mean? Like, oh, it's just no. Like girls didn't used to look how they look now. They're like, if a girl like, you know, and any set, like if girls like you walked in like 15 years ago and were like, we're going to do porn. Like we would have been like, oh, like, oh my God, do you want $1 million? Like, but you know, and they're like, but nowadays it's like everyone like, so yeah, I think it's too, it's like for maybe just being modeling and porn. Like I'm just like, no, everyone's gorgeous. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
I think we're just all desensitized.
Yeah,
big time. Especially in LA too. Everything's like, okay, wow.
When you first moved here though, did you just see girls and be like, oh my God?
They're yeah,
like,
it's just incredible. Thank God I had an accent too. Because
you have no idea how lucky
otherwise,
you are.
Otherwise, yeah, it was like little bags of gold I was giving them.
Right.
Because yeah. otherwise, like comparing to like the money people had, or you see these like model dudes as well. You're just like, what are you
yeah,
doing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Your jawline is just them, like chiseled.
There's the beautiful people.
Yeah, it was nuts. So yeah, but I had to combat that.
Since if you don't,
oh, top of the morning to you.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, so you don't have the money, yeah. You don't have the car, you don't have the house. Well, you got the accent.
Accent. And the hair draws them in too. So a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Is like, because I thought, when I first came, I thought a hot
also
mess.
Also, you're tall. So that's like,
oh, yeah.
That's panty peel right there.
But I thought like, hot mess was
like, I was like, oh. It's tall. It's nice. Like, I feel good standing next to you. It's funny. Like, I'm just at the bar, I'm like, ah, he's tall. He's, it just feels right.
It's all these things I have no control over. My accent, my height.
But it's the thing, because, like, in LA, all the actors are short. Like, that's the thing, is like, all the hot guys are, like, short. So, yeah. When I first met you, and I was like, oh, he's tall. Look at that. Ooh, look at him go.
I did well. My height and my location.
Yeah.
Are my two main features.
Yeah. For sure.
What else do you like about LA?
I say the weather, but I just pretend to like it. I like the fact that it's sunny outside, but when I go outside to the heat, I'm like, Jesus, it's roasting. I can't hack it.
It's not that nothing. Hot yet, though.
Oh, it's hot to me. I'm sweating constantly. That's why I'm not good during the day as well. Because I'm just like getting over myself, getting over the heat. The minute it cools down at night is when I come alive.
So you're night person.
Did you like, what was your biggest like culture shock when you got here in terms of like, what did you find kind of like the most hard to get used to?
Big grocery stores, lots of food?
No, I'd say it was the good look. The quantity of good looking women was nuts. Yeah. And then the money people had.
Okay.
Was pretty nuts. Because, like, we don't really have uber rich people in Ireland.
Yeah.
Everyone's around the same ish. But here it was just like, Christ almighty.
Yeah. Is it like, you mean like the conspicuous consumption? Like the.
Yeah, just like everything.
The way they would flaunt it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Flaunt it, but actually have it. And then some people have it, and you're like, what do you do? All your parents are rich.
Yeah. That's most, a lot of it. It's like mommy and daddy. Like, very few times you meet somebody actually earned it.
And then I remember like, and it. Slowly gets beaten into you. I went to this cult meeting one night. Boy, I better not say the name because they're already suing me for this article I wrote. So this cult, and they were all like, who here isn't happy with their lives and all these? I only went like to see what it was like. And they were all battering. They're like, do you have $1 billion in the bank? And eventually, it was like 500 people in the room.
Was
and
Tom
everyone,
Cruise in this room too?
No, it was a different one. Although they're suing me too. Yeah, it was like a joint article. So anyway, they just wanted people to sign up. And they're like, you're not happy with your life. You don't have the perfect job. You don't have the perfect house. Do you drive the perfect car? And they turned on to me because I kept saying, they were like, what problems do you have? And I was like, I'm actually kind of happy with my life. It's going well. And they're like, no, it's not. Do you have $1 billion in the bank? And I'm like, no, but I've enough. I don't want for anything. They're like, do you have the perfect car? And I'm like, yeah, it gets me from A to B. I'm not really into cars. And they were like just battering. And I left. I actually ran away. I was like, I actually do have a problem. I need the bathroom. I gotta go. But then on the drive home, I thought I was like, geez, I did well not getting sucked in there. And the drive home, then I'm kind of going, is this my perfect dream car?
It's like,
slowly.
No, it's insidious. Like I think that I remember when I went to France right after I graduated to go visit my grandfather and my aunts and my uncles and all my family that was there, and it was the first time as an adult that I had been like out of the country.
Yeah.
So it was like I had a grown up mind and grown up eyes to see the difference. And what I noticed is like sort of when we flew into France, just even in the airport, just this feeling that like everyone. Like, it seems like here, like, there's a fashion trend. It seems, like, ubiquitous. It's, like, everywhere you go, everyone looks the same here. And, like, in France, it was, like, even in the airport, it's, like, you would, like, see vague trends, but it seemed like people weren't so outwardly obsessed with, like, having, like, a style. Or it's hard to explain, but it just seemed like there was way less of a focus on this really kind of, like, superficial. Even like the advertising, it didn't seem as like flashy and like.
Oh yeah, it's nuts here.
Like there it was like, here's the product, here's its practical virtues, like you should buy it. Yeah, you know, and it was like you come here and it's like that's not an advertisement.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I always say when I first moved to LA, I always say it was rule number one. There was a lot of rules. I was told literally the first day I moved to LA, my boss says to me, rule number one, it's better to look good than to be good.
No way.
No, that's what he said. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's like in LA. You know, and the second rule is it's not what you know, it's who you know, and it's not who you know, it's who you blow. And I was like,
Gone away.
And then he unzipped his pants.
I'm just sitting there just kind of going like, I don't know how this works. And I'm like, I'm young and stupid. And I'm just like, what the? But after all these years, I look back and I go, you know, I think he was right.
Actually, maybe that's what blew my mind the most when I came here. That, like, I think Irish people are slight, we're not like naive and gullible, but we're like, we're open for adventure and we'll go at the flow.
Yeah.
And every time I went with the flow, people were just out for sex. But they'd like hide it in such a way.
Yeah.
Like, I remember this woman invited me to a party. I only met her through Craigslist because I went to look at her apartment to stay there. She was crazy. But she was like, oh, it's a great party full of European people. You should network, get to know them. I show up. It's just her and like four or five Scandinavian dudes. And for some reason, they're all sitting on a couch and the fire's on, I remember. And there was no seat for me, so I sat on the ground, which was weird. And I was just looking up at them on the couch and the fire was making me sweat. And next minute, they're like, hey, Mick, take it easy, relax, take off your top. And I'm like, huh, what kind of party is this? Next minute, they're doing like Klaus and Jan and Dirk. They're all doing like popping ecstasy. And they're like, oh, let's pop ecstasy. And she's like, we're going to have a good time, Mark. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And then some like this Norwegian dude with his top open off was like, hey, come help me pick up music in the bedroom, man. Just calm down. And I was like, oh, this is an orgy. I was like, oh, so there's no like networking. You told me there's going to be managers or agents here. And she's like, oh, Mark, don't ruin the fun. And I was like,
Did you ruin the fun?
I was like, oh, I think I have a friend. They wouldn't let me leave at the start. They're like, you're not going. And I was like, no, I think I am.
I just think I could see, oh shit, my mom's calling.
I was like, I got a friend who wants to come.
I just love that you have these stories like buried inside of you. You're like, oh, whatever. So then anyway, this orgy with ecstasy and drugs and a bunch of kind of...
Everybody has those in LA. We all do that.
But that blew my mind. I was like, ah. But I kept going to these. Like, she had a friend then who told me, this older woman who was nuts. She was like, I need someone. She was like, do you want a free car? A free Mercedes. All you have to do is like handy jobs around my house. So I was like, oh, that sounds fair. So I called down and she tried to get me drunk. She was like, before we talk business, let's have some wine. And I was like, all right, that sounds fair enough. If you're giving me a free car, I'll do anything.
Yeah.
So, but she didn't realize that I could drink. So she got way more drunk than I did. And I'm just sitting there sober. Next minute she's like, oh, I never told you. I was really into leprechauns. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. And then she came out. She went into her bedroom, then came back out like in a dressing gown with it slightly open. And she was into yoga and all this scat singing. So next minute she's like, I have a Hindu master and I summon him by singing. So I'm just sitting in there like eating grapes and drinking wine going, oh, this person's crazy. I didn't get it.
But
she starts scat singing to me like... Yeah, in Indian. She's like a white California lady.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's how I get my leprechaun to come to me too. So I started joking, going, oh, goodbye to the port and brandy, the whiskey and the stout. And I'm like, come on, Timmy, come out for us, Timmy. And I'm like, oh, Timmy mustn't be hearing my calls today. But she started getting a bit, she was like, oh, come into my room. She was like into midget porn. All this weird stuff. And I was like, oh, wow. I gotta go. My mom's calling me. My aunt is coming up the driveway. I better leave.
This is like my friends are like, hey, like, Sav, why don't you come out more? Sav, like, come do parties. Like, and like, that shit scares, because that's the kind of stuff that happens to me. So it's like, at this point in my life, I'm just like, I don't like to leave my house. I'm like, what are the parameters? Are we going to be in public? How many people will be there? How long am I expected to sit there? How many drinks do I have to have? What exactly are you giving me? Yeah, I'm just going to stay home. Yeah, we can do all that. I'm just going to take the Uber right back to my house.
I'd stop doing it if I didn't like... All my material comes from the stories, so I have to kind of go out and let them happen.
It's like you have to do this.
Yeah,
stuff.
I'm like, oh, I just got to go. I can't.
I'd love if you don't go. It's like, okay, so but tell us a story. I don't have any.
That's a writer's thing. Someone was asking me like why I did porn, and I was like, well, I guess like the first time I did it, because like I was like, oh, I could write about this later.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like I do a lot of stuff like that. Like, well, I have to, because, you know, I mean, I might, like, one day I might want to write an essay about it. Yeah, so. Yeah.
There's sometimes when I'm in the middle of something really bad or stupid, and I'm like, it hits me in the back of the head, at least you'll get a story out of this. And I'm like, all right. Like, I remember when I first came, I was running out of money. And this guy offered me, he was like, oh, do you want to, like, he was a ShamWow salesman. Do you remember, like, yeah. step yeah. one, don't press on the stain. So I was like, I didn't know what shamwows were. He was like, do you want to come? He was like, you'll make a killing. We'll make at least $500 a day from selling them at, like, some street fair. Yeah. So I went down. It was down in Long Beach. And nobody could understand me. I had, like, a headset on. I was like, oh, come over here and listen to me talk about shamwows. Number one, don't press on the stain. Wow. And all these people were, like, not coming over, but nobody's buying anything. Except for this one guy, because I was like, they're German made. They're really good. And he was like, oh, they're German? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, are you German? And I was like, no, but I speak it well. So I was like, oh, wie geht's, my friend, ich bin Merk, all this stuff. And he was like, oh, you're into Germany? I was like, yeah, I love Germany. I lived there for a year. And I started doing, like, stupid German things. Oh, yeah. Sick Heil. And next minute,
I started killing a bunch of Jews. Yeah. I thought it was funny.
He was like, he was buying stuff because I was getting more and more into German. So he bought, like, a couple of rolls off me. And next minute, he goes, you're going to like this. I got a tattoo. Takes off his top, just covered in tattoos. He had, like, swastikas on his chest and Hitler's face in his back. Yeah, and I was like, oh, Christ.
Yeah. I grew up with people like that. I grew up with people that had, like, white power tattoos. Really? And, like, heavy.
And I was like, oh, that's nuts. But at least that's the story.
It's like, there's anyone when you see someone, like, with those tattoos, it's, like, immediately, like, terrifying to me. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Those are the worst kinds.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Like, but because it's not
I'll take a religious fanatic. But
it's not just that they're white supremacists. It's just that, like, people that are into white supremacy tend to have a lot of other personality traits that are fucking shitty.
Yeah.
Like they tend, you know, they just, like, tend to be, like, very aggressive, have, like, poor impulse control. Mm. They tend to be, you know, their personality can, like, turn on a dime. Like, if you're drinking with a bunch of skinheads, you just kind of never know, like, when it's going to be, like, they're going to ease your life into total fucking chaos. You know what I mean? Like, cause skinheads will sit around and be like, hey, man, there's a show. There's a punk show. Here's what we're going to do. Let's all get in the car and let's go kill everybody at the show. let's bring all our shit and let's beat everyone. Let's do a beat down. Let's do a riot. Like, that's like a bunch of, like, hoods, like, sitting around, like, drinking 40s, like, hey, like, let's go, like, start some trouble in the park, eh?
Yeah,
but, like, skinheads are like, let's go start a riot. Let's go, like it's always, like, it's, like, from one to, like yeah, it's, like, ultimate mayhem.
So,
like,
I got to ask a question. So, you've been here 5 years?
Yeah.
What have you learned about Americans in L.A.?
They're crazy. Full on, pretty
nuts. Are
you
calling us crazy?
I am.
Kill them.
But I have a nice accent, so I can get away with calling people crazy to their faces. Yeah. They're fun. A lot of fun. Very crazy. You've a far better ability to speak, too, than Irish people.
Right.
Irish people kind of sit there quietly and just observe. Americans speak, like, I'm shocked by some people.
So I always ask this, through the years I've traveled the world, and I have friends all over the world, and I always tell people, like, and I've never asked anybody from Ireland, but, like, we grew up here with the American dream of work hard, make money, be successful, and fuck people over.
Mm.
What's the Irish dream? Is there an Irish dream? And if there isn't one, what would it be?
Get drunk, hungover free. That would be the Irish dream. Just the hangovers are a killer, but we enjoy a drink.
What's the cure for a hangover?
More drink. I've never met an Irish alcoholic either in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
We just call it, like, hangovers. You just have
a
drink.
I like one time we hung out and then it was like for like 3 days you were texting me like, still drinking.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Still drinking.
Irish people, they just, like, keep going.
You're like, I can't stop. Like, you'd be texting me, I was like, like you're possessed by a spirit. Can't stop. Yeah. Gotta keep going.
That's like my friends in Australia. I would go down to Australia and they would just, like, for New Year's Eve, they're like, okay, we're going to party. It's New Year's Eve. And we'd party all night till the sunrise and go for maybe 24 hours, maybe 40 hours the most. And all of a sudden, like, I'd go, okay, I'm going back to hotel. I'm going to go sleep. I'm going to sleep this off. I'm going to come off the drugs. I'm going to then go to the beach.
Mm.
I'd find my friends, like, 5 days later, and they'd still go.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, are you? And they're, like sweaty, like, walking dead. And
it's impressive, like, stamina.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at them like, how do you guys do this shit? Yeah. They're like, oh, we're still going. We got one more party to catch and pool party. I'm like, dude. I don't know how you do it.
It's experience.
Yeah, total experience. I'm like, I can't do that shit. No way. No way.
Oh. Amazing. Well, thank you for, you know, stopping by and telling us some of your crazy stories about crazy ladies trying to have sex with you all the time.
Thank you very much. Thankfully, I'm celibate, an Irish priest.
You have a priest's hands.
Amen.
Everything about you just, Waterly. You know, yeah, you seem Years very, yeah, you seem very, very chaste.
Were you an altar boy?
I actually wasn't. I was a choir singer, right?
Mm. Did you ever get molested by a priest?
Nah. not in my town.
Were you kind of hard to get? Like maybe you were kind of. Yeah.
I used to tease him with short shorts.
So why don't you tell the audience where they can find you and stalk you and get all your stuff?
I usually hang out in the streets of Santa Monica and La Cienega. Otherwise, my website is marques.tv.
All right.
And then Twitter, Trickadoo, TrickAdoo.
What does that mean? Does it have any significance or is it
just... Well, like, do was a word we had in Ireland. If you were kind of drunk or hungover, you weren't didn't want to talk, you just said, do.
All
right. Like, how are you doing? Do. Like, don't talk to me. It has so many meanings. And then trick. Oh, yeah, because playing soccer, I was called Trick Says because I tricks playing soccer. And then we just combined the two to Trickadoo.
See, and now it's edutainment. This was an edutainment episode.
Wow. And we learned something new.
Yes.
Something new.
Something and my new. Dear Sirenauts, you know you can find me on Twitter at Sovereign Sire. And you can find me on my amazing, spiffy, wonderful Richard Avery website, ilovesov.com, part of the Julieland universe. They're very kind to me, and I love them. And thank you for listening. And I'll see you guys next time.